It's been a bad week.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello, welcome for the last time in this current series to It's Been a Bad Week. I'm Steve Punce.
And I'm Hugh Dennis, and we're here behind the deli counter of despair, dispensing schadenfreude sandwiches and a selection of hard cheese, whole bunches of sour grapes, all fresh from the papers, but occasionally to be taken with just a pinch of salt.
This, of course, as you'll know, is the bit of the show where we take an analogy, we stretch it a little, we stretch it a little more, and then we really stretch the sucker. Providing musical mayonnaise in our bad week baguette is Mervyn Stutter. We have lashings of John Coleshaw and thick slices of Kate Robbins, and we begin, as ever, our quest to discover who has had the worst of all weeks in the world over the last 7 days, and will thus win our coveted Worst Week of the Week award, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis. To make the final decision and aid us in this task is this week's special guest, musician, presenter, man about Soho. Please welcome Mr. Roland Riveron.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Claire.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire. First of all, we have to just quickly, you have to declare your interests if you're going to judge this competition. Have you yourself had a bad week?
Oh, every day is a bad day, but then again, every day is Christmas Eve with me.
A bad and somewhat surreal week.
Well, you know, we actually quickly have to assess your fitness to judge with a few quick bad week awareness questions taken from our...
Tales of Woe.
Our first bad week question. Bad week Hollywood scriptwriters, Roland, Mr. Scott Neeson, who's in charge of foreign distribution at 20th Century Fox, revealed this week that in Hong Kong, films can receive less than faithful translations because Asians prefer their titles very literal. The film Leaving Las Vegas apparently translated into Cantonese as I'm drunk and you're a prostitute.
I'd go and see it.
Yeah. The film Babe became the happy dumpling to be who talks and solves agricultural problems.
Which is snappy, isn't it? But the question is, what did the crying game become? What was the crying game known as in Cantonese?
In Cantonese?
Yes.
Good Lord. In Cantonese.
Weepy pheasant.
Is that literal Cantonese? Or
I think so, yes. Zulu's up there, that's another one. Zulu, direct translation. We've got guns, you haven't.
Both of them are funnier than the actual answer, which is the crying game actually translates as, oh no, my girlfriend has a penis.
Again, I would go and see it.
Yes. We've all been there.
Have we? Yeah. Now, next, Roland. Why would you have had a bad week if you were a relative of Audrey Kanawha? Is a small clue. She's no longer alive.
Thank you for that clue. That really does help. This is a woman who bequeathed all her money to Charles Bronson. Am I right?
She is.
Yeah. 100,000, either pounds, dollars, or... I don't know. Particles of dust. Yeah.
She left it to Charles Bronson, who already has 30 million.
Now, do you know how he earned that 30 million? Not with acting. With the big bequeathing thing that he does. Yeah. So many people. He's got a bit of a chiseled thing and a fake moustache. That's it. I'm going to give him my money.
How does he do it?
Well, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that Charles Bronson would have seen the funny side and handed the money back? But no, the stingy, craggy-faced Hollywood legend has paid it into his post office account. He says that anyone who wants it will have to contend with the business end of a 44 Magnum. All right, it might be exaggerating, but he is keeping it.
Yes, he is keeping it, probably to pay his ammunition bill. Because if you think about it, all those Death Wish films, even after four of them, and he's shot virtually everybody in them, but he never, ever once managed to shoot Michael Winner.
Oi, now I heard that. Even though they've given me a seat too close to the kitchen, and I'm accompanied by a beautiful young lady who wants me for my body and not...
Well, that's what they mean by death wish. You wished he was dead, and now he is. Great. You shoot Michael Winner, you get a round of applause. Marvellous.
It'll only happen once.
Yeah. Well, Roland's passed with flying colours, whatever he said. So, on to the candidates proper, and our first batch of bad weeks.
Right, off we go. Now, normally, of course, we avoid any real news on this programme in favour of trivia and weird nonsense.
But this week we have to start with a proper news story. It's been a bad week for Jacques Santa. Yes,
good. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, right, in fact, all 20 members of the European Commission have resigned, although the much criticised French Commissioner, Edith Cresson, has said that she regrets nothing.
No, rien, rien. No, okay, je ne regrette rien.
Okay.
Belle ma vie, belle état, aujourd'hui.
Thanks.
Don't milk it.
That was Edith Piaf. I think you're fine. Okay, thank you. Unusually, we have another real news story. Second, of course, it's been a very bad week for boxing.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been a bad enough week for Don King.
Whoever does that, I don't know. I'm looking forward to that video.
Don King.
Mm. Don King.
Makes your hair stand on end.
Yeah, yeah. And the video, Don King Kong. Anyway, a very bad week for Don King, who obviously needed to make sure there was a rematch in order to pay for the maintenance of the Hawker Harrier jump jet, which he uses as a hairdryer.
See, the thing is, nobody wants a terribly close points verdict. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you watch boxing for one reason, and one reason alone, and that is to see one enormous psychopathic bloke punch another enormous psychopathic bloke unconscious. You are horizontal, on-canvas ending. A draw is no good to anyone. But that's what happens if you get three people to decide, two of whom support the home team, and one of whom is a woman with a guide dog. And I, obviously, would be perfectly happy to say that to Evander Holyfield's face.
If, of course, we could find his face after the beating that Lewis gave him.
Too right.
Now, even without the pugilistic fiasco in their fair city, it was a bad week for New Yorkers anyway, because apparently the latest craze amongst kids there is drinking something called Belcher Soda. This is a new soft drink with twice as many bubbles in as normal, which promises you the longest, loudest burps you've ever done.
Imagine being a company that makes Belcher Soda. This is a grown-up soft drink manufacturer. Just imagine that boardroom as the top executives assemble for the quarterly meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, item one on the agenda. It is proposed to increase the interim dividend by 1.6%. This is in line with expectations. All those in favor say... The motion is carried. Item two. Is that a point of order?
No, I just drank too fast.
Subtlety is one of our trademarks. It is. Now, back in Blighty, it's been a bad week for the royal family because their confidential medical records have turned up in a 70-page folder dumped on the seafront in Strathclyde, full of fascinating stuff, apparently. The man who found it was walking his dog and said, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I now know the blood groups of 10 members of the House of Windsor. Well, he's on my team in a pub quiz. You know, with knowledge like that, you could be royal correspondent for Channel 5.
Fascinating stuff, though. The files apparently detail some peculiarly royal illnesses, the inability of the Queen to wave like a normal person, Prince Philip's uncontrollable urge to be rude to foreigners, and the inability of the Queen Mother to keep her current account in credit. But actually, it's not just the fact that the files have been found that is embarrassing. It's the fact that now they're going to be serialised in the Daily Mail.
This week in the Daily Mail, the royal records. Why did the Queen have a runny nose in 1975? Where is Prince Edward's mole? And in our special urine sample analysis, we ask, what is the secret of the royal wee?
It's been a bad week for the residents of the Warwickshire village of Willy.
Hello.
Thing is, people keep stealing the signs that say, Willy.
I think we should move quickly and quietly to our City Names correspondent, Mr. Mervyn Stutter.
Well, if you ever travel around the British Isles, well, you're gonna find a town to make you smile. Well, there's Piddle Hinton, then Little Hampton, Prick Willow, Balls Cross, Titty Hill, Cockermouth, woo! Crap Bottom. Yeah, take a look at that. There's Badger's Mount cocking Willy, Titsy and Twat. Well, we can't compete with the great American names. Oklahoma, all we've got is stains. Busted flat in Golders Green, waiting for a virgin train. Only 24 hours from Dudley. By the time I get to Bolton, it'll be raining. Rocky Mountain High, Hamel Hempstead. Counting the cars on the Exeter bypass, but who writes songs about Licky End?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mervyn. Before you phone in to complain about the ladies, all those were real British towns. We must even...
Even Twat.
Even Twat.
Where's Twat? Where is Twat?
It's in the Shetlands.
Eh?
I believe. In the Shetlands.
They would. They'd have to push it right out the way, wouldn't they? No, we've got this name. It's Twat. Oh, God. We can't have it central.
Twat is very, very close.
All the crazy names are right on the edge.
We have to, at this point, Roland, to decide the first finalists from that first group. We've got to pick one of these to go through to the final, the world's worst week. The candidates so far...
Well, we've got Jacques Santé with his weird claws.
We've got him. We've got
Mr. Burpee.
We've got the Burpee Company in New York. Or, of course, we have Lennox Lewis.
Oh, well, it's got to be Lennox, isn't it?
I think it's got to be Lennox.
Do you agree? Yes!
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, on to our second batch of bad weeks. Now, it's been a bad week for a man called Buster Mitchell. Buster's from Knoxville, Tennessee, and he can't find anyone to perform the marriage ceremony for him. Poor old Buster. Well, no, actually, it's mad old Buster, because the reason Buster can't find a minister prepared to do the business for him is that Buster wants to marry his car.
Oh, shut up!
Buster says that he's loved his Mustang GT convertible since he bought her 28 years ago, so he wants to marry her. Well, why not?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to witness the joining together of Buster and Mustang. Marriage is an honorable estate, or saloon, or hatchback, whatever. Do you, Buster, Newton, Leonard, I'm not insane, no, honestly, Mitchell, take this car as your wedded wife?
I do.
And will you keep her, honor and cherish her, polish her every Sunday, check her bodywork for chipping, keep the tires inflated, insure her, and give her a regular servicing?
Oh, I will.
And are you a pervert who really ought to be locked up and kept up of the streets for all our sakes before you get caught with your wing-wang up the exhaust pipe of a Pontiac?
I am.
I now pronounce you weirdo and wife. You may screen wash the bride. And if you'd just like to step into the registry, Jerry Springer would like to meet you.
Thank you. John, Roland, does this idea appeal to you, marrying a car?
Oh, once bitten, mate.
Right, now, moving on, it's been a bad week for heavy metal fans.
Pardon?
Hey, it's been a bad week for heavy metal fans.
No one got that at all. Not one person got that.
This is a top story. This is a top story from heavy metal Bible Kerrang! Magazine. There we go, some heavy metal for those who've forgotten what it sounds like. Kerrang! Magazine is a splendid publication. It's a bit like Hello, you know, Lucifer from Leopard Pus shows us around his perforated inner ear. Anyway, the news from Kerrang! Is that the German industrial heavy metal band KMFDM have decided to change their name because it's too hard to remember. So they've changed it to MDFMK. Yeah.
Frankly, who gives a TSOS? I, I don't, for one.
Which I think, I mean, it is a bit easier to remember, certainly, because it starts off MDF, which, of course, all Changing Rooms fans will recognise as the carcinogenic fibre board with which Handy Andy can turn any ordinary old cabinet into a pretentious fin-shaped thing that no one would want in their house in a million years. And then you just add MK, see? MDF, MK, which is catchy.
It's catchy, good. I like that.
Very and staying roughly with music, the next candidate for the world's worst week is a splendid one.
Yeah, this is a bunch of campanologists from the town of Evesham in Worcestershire who accidentally got locked inside their own church. And in a bizarre Captain Mannering-style episode, they decided to ring out SOS, or the German heavy metal version, SSO, on their own bells. And amazingly, it worked.
Yes, it did, which is extraordinary, isn't it? Because I didn't know they could do that on church bells, but I suppose they can. And it does make you wonder what other strange messages are being sent out from your local church steeple without you knowing it. But fortunately, Kate can translate for us.
Here comes the bride, again. And up the duff by the look of it. And as for him, at least he's not marrying his Nissan Primera.
It's a good job, I reckon. It's a good job they knew Morse code. Suppose it sent out SAS by mistake. Whoops, no church left.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's that moment that we always enjoy, and it's my turn this time. Abroad now. Oh, I did enjoy that. It was a bad week for criminals in the Indian subcontinent, because in New Delhi, 1,000 Indian police officers have just completed a 10-day course of meditation and silence, with the idea of making them into better officers. One of them was quoted saying, "The course involved total self-introspection. I feel a better person for it. Today, I bear no malice or ill will towards anyone." Well, that's going to make interrogation tricky, isn't it? It'll be the old nice cop, even nicer cop routine.
Actually, it's been an especially bad week for everyone in India, because Britain's favourite discharged seaman, John Prescott, has been there. He was invited there by the Indian Prime Minister, who was expecting, obviously, a politician with firm views on the environment, but instead got the lottery winner from hell.
Yes, to kick off his eco-friendly fact-finding mission, our deputy dog Prime Minister flew first class to New Delhi, then stayed at the five-star Marriott Sheraton Hotel, went by Rolls-Royce to see the Indian PM, flew Indian Air Force jet to see the Taj Mahal, went in a helicopter to find some endangered Bengal tigers, and endangered them some more, with all the poachers going,
"Haven't seen any today, but just follow the helicopter." And was then flown to the Maldives, where the exclusive Karumba resort was closed off.
So he could frighten the lobsters.
Exactly. It was all in the very serious cause of investigating rising sea levels. Rather ironic, since the Indian Ocean rose 3 feet the moment Prescott dived in.
I actually feel rather sorry for John Prescott, because at least it was all in a good cause. He said afterwards that the effects of his visit to the Taj Mahal will stay with him forever.
My last visit to the Taj Mahal stayed with me for several days.
And he also described, rather movingly, how
a Bengal tiger came striding majestically towards me out of the twilight.
And shortly afterwards, he himself went striding majestically to the Land Rover to change his trousers.
Who's going to win from that lot?
We got Buster Mitchell marrying his car.
Jaja!
We got the German heavy metal bands.
Always.
We got John Prescott, all his stick, just for, you know.
You see the picture of John Prescott swimming with a snorkel and a massive fish?
Yes, I saw that picture, yeah.
And the one thing the press could come up with, proof it's not a wig.
Well, the fish.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yes, yeah.
It's a wig fish.
So, we have to ask you at this point, who are we going to go for at this lot? Who is going to be, who's going to be in the lead?
Well, it's going to be,
second round.
Church bells, I think.
Church bells.
Yeah.
The locked in campanologists. Okay, locked in campanologists go through with Lennox Lewis to the final, and we're on to our last batch of bad weeks. Right, let's go abroad again now, because Hugh's got a very good bad week.
Yeah, very bad week for the residents of Yenshi in Taiwan. Now, they have a firework display there every year, and according to the Daily Mail, this is a good luck ceremony. They set up a huge display with hundreds of rockets, multiple tiers, different sizes, different colours. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? But the thing is, they don't fire them into the sky. Oh, no. They fire them at each other. They point them horizontally and then deliberately stand in front of them. Because the belief is that the more of them hit you, the luckier you will be. in a bizarre kind of reverse logic.
Yes, you know, as in, oh, I am so lucky, only 30% burns.
And those who escape the pain are really unhappy. If you haven't got a scorch mark, you're going to have a terrible year. Not like those bandaged bastards up at the hospital. They're set up for the next 12 months. What an odd culture. Presumably workers going to the office thinking, ooh, I hope the boss will give me a rocket up the arse.
Staying abroad, it was a bad week for the Norwegian Navy, for a weird reason. Apparently their sonar is being affected by noisy cod. Can happen to anyone. In the breeding season, apparently big schools of cod make sort of grunting noises, and this affects navigation, which is plainly a feeble excuse from incompetent Norwegian submarine commanders who just can't steer straight. I mean, basically, if you can't stand the cod, keep out of the Navy.
Hello, this is Submarine Base Trondheim calling Captain Helmer. State current position. Over.
Roger, Trondheim. I was around 68 degrees north 2 hours ago, but I tell you, these fish are making a hell of a noise.
Captain Helmer! That is the worst excuse I've ever heard. Over.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? There's a couple of mackerel having it off outside my porthole.
Thank you very much. It was also a bad week, another candidate here, a bad week for Mr. Alan Hartley. Mr. Hartley's been fitted with an electronic implant to stop the pain of an arthritic spine. How it works, electric impulses confuse the nerves in the spine into thinking that they're not experiencing pain, which is fine, of course, but unfortunately they are not the only things that get confused. His electronic magnetic spinal cord stimulator also shuts security doors, wipes out credit cards, and sets off shop alarms. So if he wants to go shopping, he has to phone the shops in advance, let them know he's coming, and they switch off their security systems, which is a terrible thing to have to live with, isn't it?
Yeah, but he will never be short of friends. He's going to be followed by shoplifters wherever he goes. Now, very bad week for Francis Maud. Who, you cry? Well, that's the point, yeah. Not often would we expect to extend our sympathy to a shadow chancellor of the Exchequer, but it has been a bad week for poor old Francis. In a public survey, he came utterly last in a recognition test of Tory politicians, and that is saying something. Being a politician, though, Francis brilliantly put a positive spin on it.
That poll did my profile no harm whatsoever. All people now remember me as the politician whom nobody recognised.
It gives him carte blanche to go to whatever sauna, massage parlour. You turn up, sorry, nobody knows me, it's fine.
That's true. That's true.
Nice,
isn't it? I like that. And in any case, it's worked because we've fallen for it. So anyway, that was our last candidate, Mr. Francis. What was his name again?
I can't remember.
No idea. Anyway, sticking with Her Majesty's opposition, it was yet another bad week for poor old William. Small balding.
Hey.
That's the fella. Yes. Last weekend he held a little conference and told the Tories to forget their past. Or if they preferred, forget the name of their own Shadow Chancellor.
Which most of them went for, which is lucky, because if they'd gone for the first option, they'd never have been able to find their way home. Haig demanded that they get down on their knees and confess their sins.
Over once more to Mervyn Stutter.
I am a conservative, I have followed the false prophet they call John, I have worshipped the dreadful Magi. We centralised excessively, we capped your rates, we took you into the ERM. We destroyed your local democracies, ignored your teachers and your nurses, we gave you the poll tax. Forgive me, for I have sinned.
Say five Hail Marys and don't do it again.
Well, it's a fresh start, fresh start.
We're caring conservatives now.
Fresh start, fresh start.
Kitchen table conservatives, yeah.
Fresh start, fresh start.
Get the kettle on, Fionn. We are listening to Britain.
Oh, and what are they telling you?
They don't like me.
Well, throw up your party. Free at last. Freedom.
I want to say sorry.
Freedom.
I'm a born-again Tory.
Freedom.
I have a dream.
Freedom. Freedom.
I know we shall get to the promised land. I may not get there with you. I may even last till the summer.
Freedom.
I'm free.
Freedom.
I'm free.
Freedom. Free of what?
Free of ever having to form another government, I suppose.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much, Robert. Well, finally, before we go to Ronan to decide who has had the worst week in the entire world in our completely unfixed result this week, we just have a few final contenders from our audience here at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club, who've filled in these little forms on the way in with a section of their bad weeks. We'll just see if any of these appeal to Roland to go up there with the locked-in bell ringers and Lennox Lewis.
Well, lock my bells in, I can't believe it.
Slightly weird bad week here from Bob. He said, I've had a bad week because I knocked over a friend's wedding cake with a tripod.
Wow.
That's a strange one, isn't it?
That is
quite a bad week. So I've had a bad week because I've heard my ex-mother-in-law is still alive.
Now,
Roland, we have to get serious. Have to ask you now, from all the candidates tonight, it's the moment of truth. I think we've only actually got two grand finalists here.
Although you can nominate yourself.
Yeah, you can nominate yourself. But we have to choose.
Again, not in front of the people I don't know.
The people who lock themselves in the bell tower, or Lennox Lewis, who has had the worst week in the world this week? Roland Riveron.
Lennox Lewis!
Yay! Now, we did actually fix that result in advance, and Lennox was very pleased to hear that it was a little consolation prize that he'd won the worst week of the world competition. And to show his delight, he's actually volunteered to read the credits for us tonight. Thank you very much indeed. That's the end of the series. Thank you to John and Kate, to Mervyn Stutter, to our special guest, Roland Riveron. We're back in the summer. Thank you very much, and good night.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, basically Lennox Lewis just wanted to say, you've been listening to It's Been a Bad Week with Steve Punk, Hugh Dennis, Kate Robbins, John Coleshaw, Mervyn Stutter, and guest Roland Riveron. And they've all been trying to duck me. It was written by Steve Punk, Hugh Dennis, Steve Knight, Mike Whitehill, Sue Morris, and Steve Cochran. The broadcast assistant was Trudy Stevens, the producer Neil Rosser, and the executive producer Dirk Maggs. It's Been a Bad Week is a Spell of Dirt production for BBC Radio 2. And Lennox Lewis has gone out there and shown what he can do when he has to read stuff out. Big it up!